looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Everyone, welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we're here to help find and give you reasons to feel better. And I couldn't imagine, you know, a better place to be than hearing from people who have really, you know, taken, well, what seems like extreme challenges and obstacles and found the opportunities in them. And I use those words carefully. I've chosen them because we are featuring two. We featured them before. Now we get to dive deeper. But two co-authors of Obstacles Equal Opportunities, Volume 2. And today we have Tracy Rickards here with us. And first of all, I want to welcome Tracy. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I love that this to me is an opportunity because now we had spent the month going through and we had you guys on, and now to have you back and go a little deeper. And with your, your topic, oh, I think so many people are finding themselves in these prisons of their life that they're really looking for that freedom. And so I think that I just love that you're sharing this. We get to go a little deeper because people need to hear this.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
And so what I'll do, I would love to start off by reading your little bio here, and then we'll just jump in. I've got some juicy questions that I know people need to have the answers and guidance from you. Okay.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. Well, Tracy Rickards, everyone. Tracy initially created the Kiss Your Boss Goodbye book, coaching and online training course to free herself from a corporate job that was killing her soul. I know so many people relate to that. Tracy's rediscovery of herself and becoming the master of her own world was fueled by a surprising sequence of events. Her quest for learning, fulfillment, and to have it all make sense was her catalyst to freedom and living her ultimate dream. As a speaker and educator, she provides powerful combinations of the business and personal skills you require to transform your life with confidence. Being an advocate for self-discovery, personal fulfillment, and standing apart from the crowd, Tracy boldly and candidly shares her years of education and experience. Becoming the master of your destiny does not have to take years. Ooh, that's one myth we're going to bust right now. Transformation and freedom are only one decision away. So we're going to let you know how to connect with Tracy, but of course, you know, on the Facebook and her TracyRickards.com. But Tracy, I've got to start right there. That was such a bold thing. Transformation and freedom are only one decision away. One decision?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Until you make a decision to make a change, it's never going to happen. A lot of us stay stuck in what we want to do, what we could do, and even more importantly, looking back at what we should have done, mm-hmm. beating ourselves up for where we're at, rather than making a decision just to make a change.
Yeah, we're a sucker for punishment, eh? And that's so funny because I think about your chapter being titled "I Was in Prison." I mean, we're punishing ourselves, and we're stuck. What makes us so? Share us a little bit about your background and your story, and how you were able to get to the decision making period.
Yeah, well, I'm not known for making fast decisions, but I've been able to change that too. It started out, I was a mom at a very young age. And so, you know, as time goes by, your family gets bigger and bigger, and so do your obligations and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And so when you find yourself in a career with a lot of responsibilities, or maybe you take on debt, often you keep yourself in a place where you may not be necessarily happy, but you feel you need to fulfill your day-to-day obligations.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always have to be one way.
Mm. Okay. Now, it's funny. I love that you said that. A lot of people think the one way is we need the paycheck.
And that's a paycheck.
Yeah, that's a big stuck. So if somebody was stuck in that like one way thinking, like, but I need the paycheck, like how do you even break free of that prison of mindset? It's kind of the truth.
Well, and that's the thing. We really do need the paycheck. Money makes certainly North American world go around. But if we take a step back and look at, okay, what are our values? What are our own values that make us happy? And compare them to what are the values that we're living right now? A lot of times we're living someone else's values, especially if we're in an employment situation. We're living the values of our employer. And we're actually making the dreams happen of the company we're working for, which is, you know, wonderful for them. But then what about us? That's the very first step, is comparing what are you living now to what it is that you want. Where do you want to be?
That was really big, actually. Living the values of others versus asking ourselves the questions, well, where do I want to be? I had to write this down. One of your things you said was, can be postponing our happiness and fulfillment keeps us in bad jobs, tough situations, and toxic relationships. So you really, it goes in all, talk about postponing. Is it because we really think, okay, I'll do it later. I'll live my life, my happy life later?
Well, part of it is that we're really sold that as a dream. I mean, we're sold that we can be happy later in retirement. If we just work hard right now, save up all our eggs, and then we'll be happy later instead of enjoying what we can now. In fact, we're sacrificing more and more of our living hours to postpone it for later. You know, people are working longer and longer hours. And for what? When we find, I think the stat is like 85% or more are unhappy with their day-to-day life and their jobs. It doesn't really make sense when you think about it.
Yes. And there's so many, and I love, there's a checklist you kind of have in your chapter, and some of them are, and this is one of my biggest things was, it just so hit me, was, are you missing the sunny days? And oh my gosh, like when you just said living hours, I mean, that was one of my biggest things. Even the other day, it was such a beautiful day, but I had to run into a big department store. And I thought, I don't even want to go in here right now. And I was getting antsy being in it, because I thought, I think I just missed out on 20 minutes of the sunshine. You know? But there's,
yeah, especially in Canada, when we've got, we live in Calgary, and our summers are super short.
Oh, yes. And those are precious opportunities to enjoy being in the, like, the sun feels just so good to be in the now. But how do we get to that point where we think we're worth, like, I deserve to be in the sun. I'm worth, you know, my life has worth and meaning. How do we get from to I have obligations to I'm worth it?
There's definitely a process. But the first thing is making that decision. Because a lot of times we wait until we feel like we are worth it, or we feel like doing it, or we feel like something. But, you know, the feeling often comes after the decision and the action. It is the be, do, have.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of my years in that very same cycle of, you know, I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be the best employee I can. I'm going to have all this stuff. And once I have it, then I'm going to be happy. Mm-hmm. And it just was not working for me. It was working the opposite, in fact. The harder I worked, the further away I was getting from my own values and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not to say it's not, you got to be a good employee, for sure. Got to be a good citizen. But we need to start with looking at what our particular gifts are, and our values, what makes us happy. And when we focus in on what our gifts are, a lot of times we can bring to the world something new, and then the money follows that.
Because you're feeling better. You're not feeling so imprisoned.
That's right. You're coming from your heart.
Right. And so one place that's very difficult, I find, for people that come from the heart is, say they're at a corporate job or an industry job, does, you know, whatever job, and they don't like it. So you experience this part. This is what I'm going to ask you, is that you go there, you already don't feel good, and then you've got to deal with gossip. I want to touch on this, because gossip, it's like almost like gossip is like something that happens that kicks you when you're already down. You're like, oh, come on. Right. So can you talk a little bit about what your experience was about gossip in your industry, and how that affected you, and then to help people, how do they rise above that?
That's a fantastic question. Absolutely. So my particular industry was industrial out here in Western Canada. So it was a highly male influential world. And even as a female in the world, I had to bring a lot of male energy. And so the male world that I was in was a lot to do with power. And so, which is different than female energy when it comes to gossip. So for the male gossip arena, it is about power. And if a person doesn't have a sense of personal power, then they will use gossip manipulation to make sure that the other person doesn't have power. Oh. And that was a really big thing when it came to blame, laying blame for what the problems of the organization were, misplaced responsibility, really. And that the gossip was used as a weapon there, not to make someone else, myself feel powerful, but then to bring someone else down. And then I guess by, if you can put someone else down, that must make me feel better about myself.
Yeah.
And it is brutal because it's a no-win situation for either one.
Yeah.
No win. And I guess it's a little bit stereotypical, but from a female side, it's similar, but it's not quite so much about the power, so much as the self-esteem of how I feel about myself, my beauty, my skill set, my attractiveness. Mm-hmm. And even though gossip was still used as a weapon, it had the same result. It's a no-win situation for the parties involved.
Yeah, I'm blown away right now. I've never considered there being two kinds of gossip and where, the masculine and feminine kind of, that is just so uniquely different. I really never thought, but you're right. Where is it that we go or that we are affected by more so that can take us down? I mean, hey, if we're getting picked on for self-esteem and, attractiveness or value that way, and then we're also losing power and being manipulated and blaming, that is a prison. That is a complete prison.
It absolutely is. And it becomes a vortex. Of a downward spiraling vortex. Because if a person who partakes in gossip, if a person will gossip to you, they will likely gossip about you.
Yeah.
So even just partaking, you're actually inviting that into your world.
That's so, that's very interesting. My next question was going to be because, how do you find someone to trust? And I think that kind of, you highlighted it. You want to make sure if you do need to go to someone to talk to them or confide in them or ask them something, if they're displaying behaviors, even about someone else, even if you might think, oh yeah, they're my teammate. They're just, they're supporting me, that they're talking to somebody else. They're probably not then.
Well, I don't know whether they are or they aren't. I'm just looking at what the patterns are. Mm-hmm. Patterns and cycles repeat themselves. And so unless we dive into what our own patterns and cycles are and change those, then they're going to perpetuate themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's why this personal development world is so exciting for me, because then I've got the opportunity every day to see how I can make my world better. I mean, I have partaken of gossip. Absolutely. I think everybody has to a certain extent. But at what point does that not serve you? At what point do you need to look at it and say, if I want something better, what is it that I have to change?
Ooh, I like that question. If I want something better, what is it I have to change? Ooh, that's a good one. All right. And you mentioned there's a few things. Somebody could be their prison right now, and what they need to change is that they're overweight or they're not physically in shape the way that they would like. Or you mentioned about being addicted to things, cigarettes, food, like just everything. They could be addicted to consumption of things.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one. You talk about one of the prisons being compromising myself for attention and love.
Yeah.
Can you just touch on that one? That's a big one.
Well, my self-esteem was not so great when I was young. And what I found out was I could get a lot of attention by being a great student. And I would get the accolades and the certificates. And, so I thought, well, that feels good. So I'm just going to do more of that. But then what happened was it led into sort of a perfectionism type of thing where everything had to be better and everything had to be better. And at what point can it not be any better? At what point are you fulfilled with what you have? And so for me, it was one of those little black holes that I had mislabeled as love and attention. And it wasn't the real love and attention that I needed. The real love and attention that I needed was from inside myself. Mm. Accepting myself, loving myself as I love other people, and rather than for it coming from an external source.
Mm-hmm. I love
Does that answer your question?
Yes, and also that follows a great other question for you. Is like, where in our lives have we mislabeled? That is such a cool thing. Like, our perception needs to shift if something isn't making us feel good. If we're not feeling fulfilled, I mean, you could have looked at your life in one way and just focus and on the externals. Oh, I got this award and this accolade, and this person thinks I'm really smart here, so check mark. But then at the end of the day, you sat back and went, "Oh, I'm still not happy. I don't have this fulfilling feeling."
Absolutely. And since you mentioned addictions,
yeah,
a lot of addictions come from trying to fulfill that empty spot inside.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you reach for the cupcake, or you reach for the cigarettes, or the too many glasses of wine, mm-hmm. or whatever it is that's going to temporarily make you feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But when a person can find true love for themselves, true acceptance, and nurture their own child inside, that's when addictions and that can turn around.
I love that you said the word reach, because I remember learning maybe about a year ago, it helped me with my perception of things, that anyone with any kind of an addiction, it's because they are reaching for a better feeling, and they're just trying to find its way. Having an addiction actually we can actually highlight it and say, hey, you know what? I'm not a bad person for having this addiction. What I'm trying to do is reach for something better, which shows that I do have some self-love in there. I care. I'm still looking for the right thing. And I don't want to get, like, sometimes we can get stuck, like an addiction, let's say it's not serving you healthy. Let's say you got stuck in, I don't know if you ever did have a smoking addiction or something like that. Is that based on our decision, just to make a decision to stop that addiction or change or shift it?
Initially, there's got to be more to it for sure.
Mm.
The feelings, I've always found the feelings come after the action. And so making the decision, this feels bad, this feels horrible, yeah. I'm angry, I'm hurt. If we look at the feeling, then what we're going to do is we're just going to say, well, you just need to know anger management. You just need to manage that. But we don't necessarily need to manage it in that way so much as look at what's the sign telling me? What's inside about, like, where's that anger coming from? It's not good enough just to, you know, lock people up in jail because they're angry. We need to dig deep inside and find out where is that coming from and be able to fix that piece. And a lot of times it comes right back to the self-love and that empty hole inside.
Yes, and you actually went full circle. I love this, because when you listen to those emotions and it says that did feel bad, I am resentful, I'm angry, that's actually that's the question we can come back to in the beginning, saying, am I living my values or am I living the values of others? And that's usually when we don't feel good, because we've been living the values of others.
Mm-hmm. In our modern society here, what limits us is, you know, we need money for everything.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are living in survival mode. We're just trying to get through the survival, put food on the plate before we can get to think about that self-actualization part.
Yeah.
If there was a way that we could get the message to people that you can do both, you can pay attention to your values. You can pay attention to what makes you happy and still put food on the table, and you'll be a lot happier world.
I love that. Actually, it's funny. I don't know why I did this, but I was thinking back in my day when I was trying to do my values and listen and everything, because what was happening, and I had to laugh at myself for missing this at first, was, let's say I
knew that I was going to buy groceries and they were $100. So I was like, I need $100. But then what was happening was people kept giving me all this food. But then I still was stuck on the idea that I needed $100 for food. And later on I went, oh my God, I don't even need money. I actually got the food without even having to, I skipped the money step. Like people are bringing, I think everybody felt that I needed to eat or something. I don't know what I meant. And I thought, oh my gosh, what would the world be as if we didn't actually need the money. We just needed that thing like that we needed, right? And then people shared that and bartered or saved or gave and all these things. So I thought that is a weird paradigm shift to like there's other ways. There's another way that you can maybe don't imagine, right? And so my question is, because you have this program, I love it. I want to just talk about it. It is called Kiss Your Boss Goodbye, which is funny. I love that. Right. And I want to ask about that program, but also the obstacles equal opportunity, the volume two, the chapter that you've written. I wanted to ask how it's been out for 2 months now, And so since May, right? How has that been for you and with your Kiss Your Boss Goodbye program? Have they worked hand in hand?
It's been beautiful. It's getting a lot of attention. However, I'm more using the brand name La Sassy Success.
Ooh.
What I was finding, my feedback, was that called Kiss Your Boss Goodbye, a lot of people did not want to engage with the social media in fear of that their boss might see it.
Gotcha. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the exact same learnings, the exact same teachings, we're calling it Sassy Success. So who couldn't use a little bit of that?
Yeah, I like it. And what does it mean for you to be sassy?
Sassy for me. So when I was in the boardrooms, I had a different me. I had blazers and I wore mostly black and I was pretty plain Jane. Right now I've got beautiful purple fingernails and purple hair and I am like living in vivid color. And so I love that the world is bringing that now that we can be in color. I love that. And so SAS to me is being more of you, being more of who you are, bringing it out in living color.
Shiny. I love that. That's so true. I love that you said vivid colors. Like our values they're vivid. They're bright and our values really mean a lot to us. So you're able to express now the way you, because I'm sure you probably still go into a boardroom now and then, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
and you're able to. So do you have a boss anymore, or are you the boss?
Well, when you are self-employed, every one of your clients is the boss. So now I have more bosses probably than I did before. But now I can serve my way. I can bring me to the table. And there's another word, professionalism. You know, what is professionalism? Is it that stiff, staunchy, you know, blazery person that I was? Or am I any less professional with purple hair, laughing, having fun, bringing the same content, the same skill set, and bringing me? And that's the thing, that's my burden right now is, you know, in Canada, there's a lot of job loss. We're still seeing mass layoffs. And my burden for people is once they like get the skills that you need to survive before you need them. Right? If you're learning survival skills or first aid skills, you're learning those skills well before you need them. Hopefully you don't need them.
Right.
But in this era right now, why not learn business skills, personal development skills? Takeaways while you still have your job before you need them.
Yes.
And that's what I bring to people is, you know, a new way, new tools in their toolbox.
And it sounds like you do it in a fun way because, you know, I love that you're talking about preparedness. I love the formula that says success can be said that success is equal to when opportunity meets preparation. And I love that you said, yes, if we're doing CPR and stuff, we hopefully are learning it on a regular basis and remembering it so that when it does happen, and not that we're gearing up for it to happen, we're just
being prepared. And you hope it doesn't happen.
Right. But you sure can, you're not going to fear it should it happen, a job change or a relationship not be no longer serving you, that you need to exit. And so I love that you, so wait, now how could people get a hold of you, and do they just work with you one-on-one, or do you have a mastermind or a program?
I have a few online programs, a large and small, like entry level. I have even the free Facebook group and Facebook page where there's tons of stuff that can help you at no cost. And that is called Tracy Rickards and Sassy Success. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, I'm everywhere.
You're everywhere. I love it. And everybody can start by reading your chapter. It's so interesting with these books, like anthologies and compilations, that really, like, you guys really open up your lives and hearts so that we can see some vulnerable moments and experiences that you've been through and how you came out the other side.
We want to show that we're real people, and we're nothing special. We are people just like you, and it's just one decision away.
I love that. And with that one decision away, everybody, make the decision to pick up the book, Opportunities Equal Obstacles Equal Opportunities. That would be better. Volume 2. And right now we've just been enjoying Tracy Rickards with an S. And please connect with her on Facebook. And then also stay tuned, because we're going to be coming back with yet another beautiful co-author on helping us get through these things. So thank you so much, Tracy, for being here with me.
Beautiful. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, bye, Tracy, and everybody, come back in 2 minutes.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
For those times when you're looking for insight and additional tools to living your most elevated life, there's no better place to turn than Intuitive Alchemy Radio. Join me, Laura Brown, each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations, live on-the-air readings, and tools to help you build your most aligned, most abundant, and most delicious life.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Everyone, you're listening to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we just enjoyed the first half hour with Tracy Rickards, and both of our guest authors today are from Obstacles Equal Opportunities, Volume 2. And it was just a blast last month going through and really enjoying the conversations with all these authors, but I'm so happy to bring them back because we get to go deeper. And these topics that these two co-authors are talking about, I think can help everyone. And we've got with us, I can keep saying this right here, is Leslie Tremblay. And I want to say welcome, Leslie, to the show again.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be back.
Ah, yay! You know, your story, just like everybody else's, is so interesting. I have my own kind of vision of something that I would love to, I feel like you're an expert on, that I would love to speak with you about. But what yours is a funny one, because it's about living, like we hear it all the time, living your dream, how to live the dream, not giving up on your dream. And that's something that you really, in your chapter, share, that you did have dreams, you thought you were living the dreams, and then it kind of just went, oh, gone, poof, you woke up, and now you have to have a different dream. So I want to touch on that, but I'm going to read your bio here first, and then can we just talk about dreams and how to keep dreaming them even when they don't think they turn out the way they do?
for sure.
Okay, great. Well, everybody, this is Leslie Tremblay, and Leslie's ambition and education have been her pathway to achieving a rewarding career as a professional administrator. She is a lifelong learner with an ongoing desire to investigate the more intrinsic qualities in life and what makes us who we become. She continuously steps outside of her comfort zone, both personally and professionally, knowing that that is the only way one grows. Her passions include travel, family, community service, and inspiring others to become better versions of themselves through guidance in personal and professional advancement development. Her greatest accomplishment was at the age of 42 when she gave birth to her son, Dominic. Yay! Leslie never gave up trying to be a mom. That's a dream and a living truth now. Along with her husband, she teaches her son how to become the best person he can be. And Leslie's life is about balance and not giving up on her dreams. That is so cool. See, you said your greatest accomplishment was having, you know, your a baby, like a family. So when you've dreamt that dream and it's not coming true, how does one keep dreaming it, keep hanging on to it?
You know, it's not easy. With my marriage, first of all, I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
with the first one, it's something that we had wanted. We had actually wanted children, and it just didn't actually work out for us. Our pursuit for children just wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. And then when we got divorced, he met somebody else and fell in love and got married, and she became pregnant. So of course I'm thinking to myself, oh wow, I'm broken. It's my fault. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That we actually couldn't have children. Mm-hmm. And then again, I thought, I know you're going to feel something with this too, but I thought that I was going to be the cat baby. Right?
Yes.
Definitely mom to something for sure. And then I, through a series of obstacles and challenges, I ended up meeting my current husband. And, we had just had the right combination. And sure enough, Dominic came along, and at the age of 42, became a mom for the first time.
And you didn't have any fear, like this is just like, oh my gosh, this is my blessing, I'm getting to do this. Like, did that erase all potential fears?
Yeah, it most certainly did. He's my blessing, he's my little miracle, which makes me grateful for everything else that I have in my life. Being a mom has taught me so many things. It's been a challenging.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it certainly is challenging as well, but definitely the biggest blessing and the biggest gratitude that I have in my life is for my family, right?
Yes, I love that we're talking gratitude, and I want to come back to gratitude, but for a moment, you said something so interesting. I think a lot of people get stuck in the place of blame and I'm broken. And I want to sit there for a second because when we have a dream, but yet we are thinking, gosh, what did I do wrong? Why wasn't I good enough for, if a marriage dissolves, or I can't get pregnant, or I got fired, or I'm just not happy. I never get that opportunity. That's a lot of blame and a lot of brokenness. And it really creates a lot of momentum. How does one stop that cycle of even blaming themselves for thinking they're broken?
It's really a mindset change. I knew that I had to change something if I wanted something different. If I wanted to stay exactly where I was, I could continue to thinking the way that I was, but I didn't. And so I did have to change that. How you think, keeping more of a positive attitude, being more grateful, thinking those things and being in that energy and that vibration will actually attract those good things, those positive things into your life. And if you want to change your situation, then you have to change yourself first in order to attract the new things that you're wanting in your life.
I like that. You have to change yourself first before you can change the situation. Wait for the situation to change.
You definitely have to change yourself. It's like somebody wanting a new start in a fresh city but doesn't change themselves, and they end up just getting the same thing they had in the last place that they were actually at.
Recreating it, yeah.
Well,
in your world, which is interesting, you had been in a marriage for, 14 years, give or take, and your whole world changed. But now let's talk about in that situation where you're suddenly single, and that's scary.
did you sit down and have a little conversation with yourself and say, all right, we're getting out there and we're confident? Or did you go, oh my God, I'm being thrown into the wolves?
Oh, at first it was like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I mean, I ended up kind of, I guess, living more of his life than my own. My life became his life. Our, you know, his friends became our friends. And so it was really the matter of me trying to figure out who Leslie is and what is she like, what are the things that she actually wants to do. So I just started by, going out with some of my single friends and trying to figure out how to do this life or the single life and learn how to date. I got to a point and said, hey, you know what, I'm not going to meet anybody sitting here by myself. And I said, no judgment at all. I'm going to say yes to whomever asked me out. That was not a good idea.
That was not a good play. All right. Well, then you
that was yes. Yeah. That was not a good idea. Yeah.
But well, I love it.
Discover
that
you enjoy your own company.
I love that you're I love the Bitmoji I found for yours as well. I love using little cartoons, and it's just check it out on Facebook, guys. It's so perfect. It's when saying no is like the best thing ever. We have to start saying no and not yes to everything. And I know you saw the little cute Bitmoji there. I thought it was perfect. But I have a personal question. You might have to reach into your memory bank for this one. But was there something about you who you believed yourself to be in your first marriage that when you finally got out there and you went, I don't even like this, or oh my gosh, I like this and I never thought I did, because you were living the you guys life?
Yeah, that's really that. I just forgot about me and forgot that I actually mattered, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just kind of got comfortable doing what somebody else wanted to do instead of figuring out what I wanted to do. The types of things that I like to do on the weekends, the types of things that I read, that I watch, I just lost myself is really what happened. Yeah.
What makes us give ourselves up? What makes us get lost and forget who we are in a relationship or job or anything?
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of trying to please other people and not exerting our own self to say, hey, this is what I want out of life. And learning how to ask for what you want can be difficult. It usually is difficult at first. It just takes practice. Start small and work your way up to things bigger.
I like that. Yes. Start small, get into practice of asking for what you want, guys. And I think that's a big one, because the fear that's really coming up is, like you said, people pleasing. So the fear there is they won't like me, or I'm uncomfortable and I'll fail and I can't do it. Or you kind of forget. I want to talk about that say no thing. What are some things that we end up saying yes to quite often and that we really should be saying no to?
Some things that we say yes to. I'm not, let's see.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah, put me on the spot. I think we say yes again just to please other people. And we say yes too quickly instead of thinking about what we actually are saying yes to. And really, when you say yes to something, you should be wholeheartedly on board with whatever you're being asked to do, and it should be a holy hell yes, right?
Yeah,
this is something that I want, not just saying yes just to pass your time, because then it could be essentially wasting your time.
Right. Oh my gosh, guys, I love it. I actually had to draw the heart, because I love that you said, if you're going to say yes, make sure it's a wholehearted yes, and we can only give a wholehearted yes when we love ourselves, know ourselves. This is so cool. judgment. So this is the fun part. So when we're looking at things, I really feel like you're going to be able to help people just to kind of go, okay, I'm, you have to have discernment. We have to judge, to a point to say, this is good for me, this isn't good for me. How did you know something was going to be fulfilling to you? What were those little tips that show up in your life that when you know you're on track?
It makes my heart feel good. Sometimes when we're saying, yes to the wrong things, it just feels bad. It just feels bad in our inner gut. And it's something that we do need to listen to a lot more. But when you can say something, when you can say yes to something that just makes your heart feel good, it brings a light to you, it brings a smile to you, then you know that you're, more aligned with what that actually is. If it feels bad, if it's being forced, then it's something that you'll probably not end up working out well for you.
Yes. Oh, I like that. So it's back to really being present and living in that now of how do I feel at this moment when I'm saying yes or saying no, So I kind of talk about guilt then for a second. Sometimes I've had to say no to things and I know it's the right thing to say no. Like I absolutely have to say no. It's not for me. However, I feel kind of bad. Like, why can't I just do this for this other person? What do we do with in that situation if we're a guilt person? We just don't want to feel bad about making somebody else feel bad.
What somebody else thinks of you or their feelings are none of your business, really. I mean, we're not responsible for how somebody else feels. We're only responsible for how we feel and how we react to something. If something is no, if somebody asks us a question, the answer could be yes or no, and they have to accept whatever the answer is that you give them. But again, we're not responsible for how somebody else feels. Just how we feel and how we react to the situation.
Right. And, I bet moms have to go through this a lot because little kids ask for a lot of things that we have to say no to.
Yeah.
It probably makes you a little hard, too.
Best interest. Yeah.
Yes, because you're like, I want you to have that candy, but it is not good for you. So it's a no.
That's right. You have to eat first.
Yes, negotiations are important. And yes. Courage. Courage to ask for what you want is a necessity. That's one of your things. I love that.
Yeah.
So courage feels like a lot of like, okay, first of all, can you define courage for us?
For me, courage is really just is stepping out there and being true to yourself. And again, asking for what you want. And it will feel uncomfortable. I guarantee you, if you're not used to doing it, it will feel uncomfortable, but just ask anyway, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? Maybe the worst thing that could happen is no from someone, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that really is okay. That 30 seconds of courage, just ask for what you want within that 30 seconds of courage, and then at least it's out there, you've asked for what you want. Start off small and then make some bigger questions. And sometimes you have to have the courage to ask yourself what you're actually looking for as well. Not just somebody else, but really, what do I want? What do I need? And that takes sitting with yourself, not relying on somebody else to be able to help you center yourself to make sure that you're making a good decision at that moment.
Yes, I love that. This is so funny. We talk about courage. There's I'll share a little thing on here. This morning, I was listening to my, positive story or something or other, and something came up for me, and I went, oh, I think that's a big perception shift for me. And I knew that I should go and sit with myself and just walk through it. But I don't know whether I didn't have the courage to do it, or I was, I was like, I'm not going to have enough time, and I got distracted. But this is what I wanted to share, is that we can get distracted from visiting with ourselves.
Sure. We get busy and we get distracted because we don't want to deal with whatever is in front of us right now. So we think I have to vacuum my house right now.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just, it doesn't take a half an hour. It could take 30 seconds just sitting with yourself, kind of trying to align yourself, maybe do some breathing exercises or whatever your thing is. Just sit in silence for just a minute, listen to what your body's telling you, listen to what your mind is telling you, and then go from there.
I love that. You know, it's funny as I am, I'll say, I am that crazy cat lady, but I love it.
Yes.
And I'm like, I have to walk the test now. And I'm like, do I? And I'm like, right now, like, I shouldn't just sit down and just ask myself this question. It'll take me 5 minutes to write some notes. But I was like, no, I have to walk. And like, no, I did not have to walk the cats that moment.
Distraction, shiny.
Right? Yeah. Cats are very shiny. That's my good distraction.
Yeah.
But I love it. You write this. You wrote, visit your pity party. Don't just live there. I love that so much.
Yeah, sometimes that's all you need to do. You know, stay there for a few minutes if you want, but you have to get yourself right back out of it again.
Yes, and how is that done? Is that with mind or how?
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to force yourself out of it. Really, it's a matter of, you know, if you want to cry and fall to your knees, that's fine. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and just continue on with life. And if it's because you made a wrong choice, make a different one next time.
Yeah. We've got lots of time to make choices, don't we? Goodness.
something
fun that I love is that you used travel as back in the day, you know, to allow yourself to open up to another world, to other possibilities, just to new experiences. Is that one of your biggest ways of kind of opening up your world?
Yeah, I think travel is super important. And I think it's important for kids as well.
Mm.
When you see, we are, you know, as Canadians, incredibly fortunate to be where we are and live where we live. When you go see other countries about how other people, you know, live their lives, I think it makes you, and it hopefully makes you incredibly grateful for where you're at. And perceptions do change. You know, maybe it's not so bad. I'm not living like this. I'm living like this. So maybe things aren't as bad as what I am making them out to be.
Yes, I have to tell you, back in 2007, I went to Japan, and I have never been so grateful for air conditioning and non-humid air in my life. Oh my God, I was just constantly damp and wet and grubby. Oh, I mean, there's beauty around me, but I love that you wrote, travel and experience the world, even if it's just the world around you. We often forget that, like, two doors down, somebody might be that's traveling. You're like, go to a different restaurant, go to a different store, drive to maybe it's the same chain store, but go to a different one, a different location. It's so attainable to just shift.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, get out into nature. If you're used to being in the city, maybe, you know, too often in the big concrete jungle, just go find a park somewhere, reconnect with nature. Just tends to make you feel better.
Yeah.
And you can do that.
It is. And something else I just love that you wrote, you said, don't forget to do the do. Wishing will not get you there. I mean, it's a step, but it's certainly, you got to do the do.
That's right. You can learn all the things you want, but unless you put them into practice, they're not going to work.
Yeah. Oh, we got to do that do. but you actually do help people get to a place in their lives where they want to do the do. I think that's the thing. The desire has to be there, and that's
right. You know, if you're going to coach someone, they need to be willing to do it, because you're not going to be hand-holding them the entire way through, nor are you going to be doing the work for them. If they want to see the change, then they're going to have to do the work, for sure.
Yes. And, okay, so this is a big one, because whether they're my friends or some clients, you know, whoever shows up in my life, we can do that talking, we can do that coaching, whether it's on food or attitude or losing weight, exercise. They have really honestly and been said, I know I should, I want the result, I can't get the physical part of my body to catch up with the doing. Is there some tips you have for somebody to shift to the doing?
Just start small. I mean, if your goal is to run a half an hour on a treadmill somewhere, which mine is not, I will walk for hours. But unless somebody's facing me, I don't run. You know what? Just start small. Maybe it's going up and down the stairs a couple of times or around the block. Right?
Yeah.
The more you do it, the easier it's gonna get to go, you know, next time you go out there, say, okay, well, maybe it's gonna be 2 blocks this time. And then 3 blocks, and then 4 blocks. But just start something small. Don't look at, you know, 1 month from now where you want to be. What do you want to do today?
Yeah. Like,
what's your goal? What's your goal for this hour today versus what's your goal for 30 days from now? Just look at the present and work your way towards that. It is good to have that long-term goal, but you do need the short-term one as steps, baby steps to help you get there.
I love that you said that. Oh, okay, that was huge. That was my little breakthrough. Thank you. Because you can't start small. You hear that. But what you said was, what do you want to do today? So I struggle with water, and it's not just water. It's any liquid. I have a small stomach, and it actually hurts if I drink too much. But I know I need to drink, to consume, to flush, and that's my goal. So literally every day, I said, just get four cups of water, and spread it out, because then I don't have to think, okay, in a month I want to be drinking 2 liters of water, because it freaks me out.
Just have it on your counter and just watch it go down throughout the day.
Yeah.
A visual reminder, right, of how much that you have accomplished and what you have yet to accomplish.
Yes, and I literally, it's funny, I don't choose like a water bottle. I actually use an old school measuring cup, like the ones my mom had when we were little for, you know, go to it. Those are little fun things. And I love that you just brought up celebration. You do celebrate those little successes.
Yep. And you really need to. It helps just to keep you motivated to continue going.
Yes. Celebration. You're right. Celebration keeps you motivated. Otherwise, why are you doing it, right?
That's right.
So do you invite, with the book, your chapter's been out now 2 years since May, the book has come out. Mm-hmm. How has this chapter been? Has it been supporting your career and your pathway of decisions and choices?
It has been. You know, I still have I did write this. I do have a career myself, and being able to go through this process has actually made me better at what I do in my profession. I have a team that I lead, and they are amazing people, and my job really is to empower them to do the best job that they can do. And going through this process has actually been a really good catalyst for that. It's just helped me progress even further from where I was at before.
Oh, see, that is such a good thing to let people know, that sharing a story or trying to, was writing the chapter for you not difficult in trying to figure out what steps you wanted to share with people, or like what was the growth for you?
It wasn't actually difficult to write the story, because my story, and I know it very well. It was difficult to share it. However, it was that judgment piece. You know, what are my family and friends going to think? You know, what if somebody reads it? And then what if nobody reads it, right? So there's some fears that actually come along with that. But once I had, and again, this is something that I had to work myself through as well, and journaling was a really good exercise for this one. And, you know, once I actually shared it once, it just became easier and easier, you know, definitely easier. So it's been an amazing experience for me. And I'm really grateful and thankful to Heather for actually introducing me to this.
Really.
Yeah.
I love that you said that. You know, you're so right about the fears. Like, some people might have a dream and they'll think, I'm afraid to dream it because what if it doesn't come true? And then the other thing is, sometimes there's fears, what if it does come true?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, what if, you know, you have that one fear to say, well, what if nobody reads it or nobody likes it? And then the next, on the other hand, is what if somebody actually does read it?
Yes.
And then because I'm putting myself out there, I'm being vulnerable, but, you know, sharing a story helps people connect with you.
Yeah.
And with your audience. So it was definitely a good experience. It was easy to write, but it was difficult to share. But then I had to work myself through that.
I love that you did that. And everybody, if you would like to connect with Leslie Tremblay, it's Leslie, and Tremblay is Tremblay. And I do want to invite everybody to check out, first of all, pick up your copy of Obstacles Equal Opportunities, Volume 2, and connect with both of our guests from today. So Tracy Rickards or Leslie Tremblay. And Leslie, first of all, thank you so much for being on the show a second time. We love having you here.
Thanks very much, Lisa. It's been great.
Oh, it really has. Thank you so much. And everybody, these are two incredible authors, co-authors, who have just really expressed that, you know what, obstacles do come up, but you can make them into opportunities. I love that so much. So again, thank you so much, everybody. This is Leslie Tremblay. We've had a lovely half hour with you guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. That concludes the Obstacles Equal Opportunities Volume 2 series. We've been able to dive a little deeper. And please share with me on my Facebook page, Lisa Berry, what obstacles that you might have come up to or need to get through. And then I know that all the co-authors would love to chime in and give you a little help and guidance on how you could turn them into opportunities. So thank you, everybody. We'll catch you next week on Light on Living. I've been your host, Lisa Berry.